Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you all this morning, and I want to extend a special welcome to those of you who are visiting Unity Church for the first time. We are glad to have you with us. We hope you all find Unity Church to be a place that helps you find and keep your balance, a place which nourishes you and inspires you to lead a loving life of service, integrity, and joy. Following the service, you're invited to join us for refreshments in the parish hall. There you can meet friends new and old, visit our bookstall, and stop by the information tables. If you are interested in learning more about becoming a member of Unity Church, please stop by our welcome table. Our children's and Anderson libraries are also open after every service and available to you. The libraries are on the second floor of the Elliott Wing. And I encourage you to take a look at This Week at Unity in your order of service. It serves as a guide and a roadmap to deeper involvement here at the church. In particular, I draw your attention to Wellspring Wednesday. This is the last Wellspring Wednesday of this church year, and we're featuring our talent show. As always, dinner's at 6, but then we'll move directly into the talent show, and there are spaces available. So if you have a talent or a parlor trick, refined, wacky, or wild, please contact Carrie Meyer or contact me. And this Thursday, May 24th at 1 o'clock, we will have a life writing class with a loft writing instructor. And this is open to those of you who are 65 and older, and those of you who are 65 and younger. There will be childcare provided. Please contact me to sign up. Next Sunday, Justin Schroeder and Worship Associate Brian Newhouse will lead our worship on Service and Sacrifice, the Complexities of Memorial Day. And we will have one service at 10 o'clock, one service. This is our last Sunday with three services. So I will see you at 10 o'clock next week. And do note, as I'm sure most of you are aware, our annual congregational meeting will happen at 12:15 following this service. And finally, at the conclusion of this service, our worship leaders, Katie Lawson and Leah Rivamonte, would like to greet you at the Portland Avenue doors. Again, welcome to Unity Church.
No. No, no, no. Feel the narrow shape of your mouth as you say it with me. No. The tongue catches the upper palate behind the front teeth, the lips pucker, the cheeks hollow. Now say yes.
Yes.
Stretch it out. Yes. Notice how much more open your mouth is. You almost have to smile when you say it. Yes, yes, yes. Now say it to yourself. Turn that smile inward and really mean it. Come, let us worship together.
A person will worship something. Have no doubt about that. We may think our tribute is paid in secret, in the dark recesses of our hearts, but it will out. That which dominates our imaginations and our thoughts will determine our lives and character. Therefore, it behooves us to be careful what we worship, for what we worship, we are becoming. Thank Every Sunday, we set aside time to expand the caring ministry of this congregation.
Together we recognize the cycle of life and death, the circle of love and witness that we create with our intention. Our hearts are with all those who live with grief or chronic pain, for illnesses seen and unseen, those who live with addiction, those who live daily with mental illness or who care for family members who are in ill health, and those who knowingly face their final days. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Tom Inman, father to Marilee Inman and grandfather to Joseph LaFerla. Tom died peacefully on May 11th in the company of family members following a strong, long struggle with dementia. We hold his family in our prayers. We celebrate the life and mourn the death of Jeanette Lowry, who died on Thursday, May 17th, after a long illness. We hold Jeanette's family in our hearts, her son Phil, daughter-in-law Madeline, and her grandchildren Nicola, Weston, and William. We hold Karen Pike in our hearts and prayers. She was admitted to the hospital yesterday due to cancer complications. We pray for her comfort and surround her with our love. While we hold sorrow in our hearts, we also hold joy. We celebrate the birth of Alexander Weston McCrady, born April 18th, 2007, to Kate and Rob McCrady, and the little brother of Eric and Owen. I now invite you to share the names of those people you would like to celebrate, memorialize, or hold in the embrace of this community. For the names which have been spoken and the names that remain in the silent sanctuary of our hearts, may we be forever grateful for the lives that have touched ours. Please join me in an attitude of prayer or meditation. Dear Spirit, dear life of life, you are everywhere. You say in so many ways, you are not alone. You belong. Beauty will prevail. Yet there are times when we feel like we would like to close up like a flower in the night. We despair to be a part of a world where children die, where the cycle of violence feels like it will never end, and where we so often fail to treat the earth with the tenderness it needs. We ache because happiness is too often fleeting and because we so seldom know what to do to relieve our longing. During those times, bring us faith that while we may be shut against the darkness for a time, we are not cut from the plant, that roots will still hold us and bring us nourishment so that when we are ready to open, we can. Because we know that when we are able to open wide to the sun and the rain and the gaze of friendship, the bees can take our blessings to places to which we may have never known it traveled. Amen.
Four.
Well, that should put you in the mind to give with abundance and wild abandon. Today's offering is going to the Southern Minnesota Legal Services. It's a legal aid program that provides legal services in civil matters to low-income clients in Ramsey and 32 other counties. It provides advocacy and education services to thousands of low-income clients each year in a broad range of areas, including orders for protection and domestic abuse, discrimination practices, public benefits, affordable and safe housing. Bruce Beneke, a longtime member of Unity, recently announced his decision to step down as executive director, and today we honor his time at Southern Minnesota Legal Services with this offering. Would the ushers please come forward? Today we give with the understanding that the problems of some of us are actually the problems of all of us.
At this time, I would love to be joined up front by the children in the congregation for our kids' message. And you know, I noticed that the choir has left some prime worshiping real estate open here, so if some of you would really like to move forward, please take advantage of this opportunity. Those of you who have been seated in the balcony, if you'd like to come and fill these spaces, they are now open. You're very welcome. So, kids, come on up. I have an experiment to do with you. And grown-ups, if you have a little one who's kind of wiggly or a little bit nervous, you can come up with them as well. Have a seat on the carpet. You can get yourself cozy. We need to give the flower baskets plenty of space. All right. Rocks. It's a day for flower and rocks. Lots of flowers, lots of rocks. Check this out. I have a big jar of rocks, right? Because today we're going to spend some time thinking about what is a vessel? What's a vessel? Has anybody ever even heard the word vessel before? No? I can tell you a little bit about the word vessel. This right here, this glass jar, you could also call this thing a vessel. A vessel is something that has empty space inside it, and if you wanted to, you could fill it up with stuff and use it to carry it places. So, what have I filled my vessel up with? Rocks, exactly. In fact, you can maybe help me count how many rocks was I able to fit into this vessel. All right, come with me. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 12. No, I'm pretty sure 12. We might check afterwards, Taya. So I was able to fit 12 big old rocks into my glass vessel here because vessels are meant to hold things. So is this vessel full? Yeah, it looks pretty full, doesn't it? It's full of big rocks. But you know what I was thinking is, what if it's not really full? Check this out. I fit more rocks in it. How come I can fit these rocks in it?
Because they're tiny.
Because they're tiny, exactly. Oh, catch that one for me, Caroline. Whoa, look at this. Wait, let me even give it a shake. All right, wait, look, I got even more rocks. Watch this. How's that look? Now is it pretty full? Yeah. This vessel looks pretty full, but I wonder if I could fit something else in it. Leah has a good idea. Oh, could I have you sit down so that our friends in the back can see? Will you dump them in there? Thanks.
Sand is crushed up rock.
Sand is crushed up rock. Have a seat so that our friends can see. I'll wait till you're seated. Oh, thanks. This is tinier than tiny, so do you think I can put more in there? In fact, let's just see. Here's one scoop of sand. That's a lot. You think there's room for this much more stuff?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, check this out. More?
Yeah.
What do you think? Wait, I gotta give it a second. Here, let me give it a shake. How come I can fit more sand in there? How come I can fit more stuff? Because it's so small, where's it going?
It can go through all the rocks.
It can go through all the other rocks and it can fill up all these little spaces, right? All right. This vessel looks pretty full, is it?
Yeah.
I have this other idea.
It looks like a dinosaur stuff.
I can fit all this in there too, watch this. Are you sure? I could fit silt in there, because silt is very small rocks, right? Aaron's gonna grow up to be a geologist. Too shabby. Okay, so here's my question for you now, friends. Is this vessel full now?
Yeah.
I think you could be right. And you know, vessels get me to thinking that our life is kind of like a vessel too. I get to have this whole life all to myself and I get to put things in it. Maybe friends that I love and people that I care about and things that are important to me. Got something? Indeed! I'm just gonna sit down now. Nice job! You can fill your heart up with love. Your life and your heart can be like a vessel, and you can fill it up with all sorts of things. Big, important things, kind of medium-sized things, kind of little tiny, tiny things that you can barely even see. They're hardly so important. You can fill it up with joy, just like you can fill in all the cracks with water. This is pretty cool. You know, and I start thinking about the big rocks that I started with. Yeah, this is all broken up rocks, isn't it? So the big stones start making me think about the big things that are important. The water is made out of hydrogen and oxygen. You're right, that's really super small rocks. That's a really good question, Lily. Okay, wait, I have this really good idea. Do you want to hear it? These big rocks, like this, if I want to fit big, important things into my life, I have to choose what they are and put them in my life. If this were my life, this little jar, the big, important things would be, can you guess?
Rocks.
Not real rocks. They'd stand for something. Like, the big, important things in my life are my friends, my family, and it's important to me to love them well, taking care of my body and my mind and my spirit, and learning and growing. All those are the really big important things. And so that's what, this rock right here, this is gonna be my family. And I fit it in my jar. But you wanna see something interesting? Hang on, Aaron, you and I will have a chance to chat after worship. Check out this jar. What did I put in first? I put the sand in. What did I put in on top of the sand? Yeah, so here over here I have my life, and I have some big things and important things, and I have the medium things, I don't know, in my life maybe the medium things are like being able to go out for a walk with my dog every day, and being able to go out for something yummy and trying a new food that I've never tried before. The tiny things are the tiny things that don't even matter, like did I get to play video games before I went to bed or not? Or did I get to be the first person in line or the last person in line? Or like this tiny grain of sand right here. This is that I went to ice cream the other day and they only had chocolate, which is only my second favorite flavor, and they didn't have bubble gum, which is my first favorite flavor. That's that tiny piece of grain. That's that. So there's a bunch of little things in our life, a bunch of medium things, and then some super important things. Now, watch what happens if you choose to fill your life up first and you start with the little tiny, tiny things, like video games and ice cream, stuff like that, and then you put the medium things in. Watch what happens when I want to put, well, yeah, and sometimes they're not always, I mean, some of this stuff right here is fun, and this rock right here is about having fun, too. If I want to fit those in now that I put the small things and the medium things in first, watch what happens. Count with me how many rocks I can fit in. One, two, wait, I got to give it a good shove here. Three, oh, man, I even got to work at it a little bit, and then three and a half. It's a little bit harder to fit the big important things in, isn't it? When I started with all the small stuff first. I should have started with the biggest one first, because when I put the big rocks in first, could I fit more in?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I fit lots of medium-sized things and lots of small things and even lots of water. I should try that. You should hang out with me and we'll do some more experiments. So you might ask, well, what can this jar of rocks teach us? I think, you know, when you can't fit the important stuff in, I'd have to pour the water, like the joy, into the little cracks. It would even be hard to fit in. So I think this makes me think that in my life, if my life is kind of like a jar of rocks, I am for sure going to start with the big important things, like my friends, my family, my body and my mind and my spirit. I'm going to fit those in first, and then I'm going to give thought to the medium stuff and to all this little tiny stuff like sand. May it be so, and amen. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Katie's going to talk to us a little bit more about vessels, too, and then we'll have flower communion. You can go back and sit with your families.
This poem is called Locked In, and it's by Swedish poet Ingemar Leckius. All my life, I lived in a coconut. It was cramped and dark, especially in the morning when I had to shave. But what pained me the most was that I had no way to get in touch with the outside world. If no one out there happened to find the coconut, if no one cracked it, then I was doomed to live all my life in the nut, and maybe even die there. I died in the coconut. A couple of years later, they found the coconut, cracked it, and discovered me shrunk and crumpled inside. What an accident! If only we had found him earlier, then maybe we could have saved him. Maybe there are more of them locked in like that, they said, and started knocking to pieces every coconut within reach. No use. Meaningless. A waste of time. A person who chooses to live in a coconut, such a person is one in a million. But I have a brother-in-law who lives in an acorn.
Fest, in which we will be throwing flowers, rocks, coconuts, and all sorts of things around. Some years ago, I was working with a yogi from Minneapolis, which still kind of amuses me, the idea of a Minnesotan yogi. Oh, sure, you can get enlightened. No problem. But there he was. And we were in the midst of some exercise when he turned to me, and I think a little impatiently, but in his best Jedi Knight voice, he said, "Tell me, how much of life would you like to be able to hold?" Well, I was eager, as many of you are, to hold as much as possible, so I said, "As much as possible." At which point, he looked me up and down and said, "You will need a bigger vessel." And he was right, I do. But I don't think I'm alone. I think all of us could use vessels that just were a little bigger, a little more able to welcome what life has offered us. Here we are, sitting in this beautiful rainstorm of life, and we miss so much of what comes down on us because our being is a teacup instead of a rain barrel, a mere half coconut shell set out trying to contain the breadth of the universe while most of it falls around us and evaporates so that it can go and try to find us again. Our universalist forefather, Hosea Ballou, told us that happiness, that real joy, is the purpose of spiritual life, and that those things that steer us away from happiness are our sins. This isn't to say, I want to go on record, that your chosen faith is based on party power. That's not the sort of happy that he was talking about. He's talking about deep happiness that comes from living side by side with a loving God. When we live more continuously in connection with the whole of existence, we feel joy. And our capacity to feel the joy in being connected to the whole of creation is so much of what we're trying to do with our spiritual lives. This is of special concern now because I hate to tell you, but joy is on the decline. It's true. In 1621, Robert Burton, an Anglican minister, wrote this book called The Anatomy of Melancholy, in which he identified a new illness afflicting an increasing number of people. He went on to describe something that sounds a lot like depression. He actually theorized that it had come to England, that it spread to England from Italy. This punches some holes in his argument. It seems a little unlikely. But I digress. The point is that this disease of the spirit was spreading, and he attributed this malaise to an increasingly sedentary lifestyle and to urbanization and just a tad to the English climate. This trend has not come to an end and seems to have infected much of our culture. In fact, fewer and fewer Americans say that they are happy. Recently, the London School of Economics published a World Happiness Survey. Don't you love the thought of all these economists coming up with a happiness survey? And they ranked countries based on the percentage of people who reported being happy in those countries. We come out 46th, behind countries like the Dominican Republic, Estonia, and India. Bangladesh is number one. Our culture is making it harder and harder for us to open up, to remain flexible, and to receive blessings. Our vessels are shrinking in the relentless heat of shame and fear imposed by advertising, cycles of abuse and addiction, violence, and most of all, isolation. The world seems always to be pressing in on our walls. Our experience of suffering make us want to thicken and harden our walls to protect us. But in trying to make it harder for the suffering to get in, we also make less room for joy. I think sometimes of my spiritual life as being this clay pot on a spinning wheel, and I'm constantly worrying at this pot, trying to pull up the edges taller and taller, when maybe they just should be pulled out and flattened out. Since I was told that I have a puny vessel, I have been doing a lot of thinking about my container, about that God-shaped hollow that a lot of you study in religious education, that part of us that longs so much to be filled, but paradoxically can only be filled by being empty. I've learned something about saving that space by watching my mother do puzzles. In the last couple of years, she's taken up puzzles as a way to relax. And I gotta say, this newly found and unbridled enthusiasm for doing puzzles had me a little confused and just a little bit worried for a bit. But this began to change this winter when my granny got really ill after a kidney failure episode. And my mom came out from California to care for her mother at home. And for a lot of days, she did the hard work that so many of you know, that is caring for someone who is so sick and who you love so much. It's exhausting. And so my brother and I had this great idea that we'd go out, much to our chagrin, to the mall and bring her back a puzzle to kind of distract her from her worries. 3 or 4 days later, I came home to Granny's and was gratified to find my mother sitting at the dining room table with her puzzle set up. I let her be, and I sat down with the paper to read. Every now and then, and you probably have had the same sensation yourself, especially if you've done a couple of puzzles, but every now and then, she would let out a little grunt of satisfaction when she got a piece in. If it were a particularly difficult one, she'd go, mm-hmm. Or when it was really hard, like it was the black night behind everything, you know, in the movie theater, and it was just this, in the sea of black stuff, one piece, she'd put it in and she'd go, yes. And smile. Now, when it sometimes comes together in my life, in that God-shaped hollow, the vessel is filled, I can almost hear my spirit making that same sound. Sometimes just a little, mm-hmm. But mostly a broad, happy, yes. Amens let out in this recognition of a completion, of something coming into place, revealing the whole picture, and allowing me to experience my connection to that whole picture. The God-shaped hollow has this shape that's mysterious, a shape we are constantly trying to understand so that we can know how to fill it, because we want it filled. In fact, this may be at the root of all of our wants, but then too often we try to fill it with things that just don't fit, things that fill the jar, but aren't quite right. Like trying to press a penny into that space in the puzzle, or sometimes a pan of brownies, or something, anything that will fill that space, but doesn't allow us to experience the whole picture. These false idols end up filling our vessels with junk, or with little bitty pieces of sand, leaving less room for God or its equivalent to pour in, those things that bring us real and lasting joy. So the first step in creating more space in our being for joy is to control the clutter. It's a little bit like a home and garden channel for the soul. You go in and you clear out all that mess. But the work does not stop there, because having this Zen-like empty teacup is better than one full of stuff, but it may not be enough to invite into our lives all the opportunity for connection, for wholeness that life is offering us. Creating more space for joy in our lives involves both trying to keep the walls of our being flexible and actively pushing at them from the inside, allowing them to be pulled from the outside. This is where prayer and meditation come in. This is where loving people that it's really hard to even like comes in. It is also where being a part of a congregation comes in. And by congregation, I mean a community of people committed to a similar path, but still open to being moved by the organism as a whole. I think of dances and concerts and festivals and street fairs and parades and demonstrations and church. In her recent book, Dancing in the Streets for Joy, Barbara Ehrenreich looks at how the increase of Western Protestant malaise corresponds with a decrease in community celebrations, like ecstatic ritual, festivals, dancing, and the like, and she argues, there's a relationship between a lack of joy and a lack of opportunities for people to come together for events that promote spontaneous revelry. Some of the energy in those events comes from our vessels, at least for a time when we are stretching open to touch the walls of another, so that for a time, we are one big vessel seeming to hold all that can be held. And after it is all over, after the music has ended, we're heading home, after that we may shrink back in some, but that stretching has made us more roomy and has kept our walls pliant to be stretched again. Our capacity for joy is expanded by being in community. Often when we turn our individual experience over to the experience of a group, we expand ourselves. There is something about being open to that group experience that pushes at the walls of our vessels and lets the sun shine in. We have a history in our faith of being suspicious of gatherings that open up too much energy of the group. It's very dangerous. Much of Unitarianism in particular emerged in the response to emotional appeals of revivalism and the Great Awakening. And so our forefathers preached for rationality in the face of what they saw as blind following. But we may have thrown the baby out with the bathwater just a bit. There's a difference between having your emotions manipulated by a central figure and then truly responding to the movement of a body of which you are a small part. Dancing in a group of people firmly planted in that moment, singing along with wild abandon, going to church even when we don't feel like it, playing a game of soccer. This is all good stuff. In being with each other in these ways, we are increasing our capacity to endure suffering and, more importantly, to experience joy. And sometimes to do this, to be in these groups, to stretch ourselves that way, takes a lot of effort. I remember in particular, and some of you kids might be able to relate to this particularly well, I remember specifically when I was 12 going to this flute concert with this very famous flautist, and I have been taking flute, and I was so excited to see him play, and I so wanted to be wrapped up in the music, and I sat there and pretty soon got a little bored, and my mind started to wander, and I got a little restless, and I'd draw myself back, and I'd be like, no, this is great music. And then I'd get a little restless, and I'd wander a little bit. But in the end, I had heard enough of it so that when the end came and everybody leapt up out of their chairs for the standing ovation, I was right there. Wow! Sometimes it's hard, but it stretches us, and it brings us joy. It is so wonderful to me to think about all this congregation has been doing to become more welcoming. Because the work that may seem about welcoming people is really about welcoming joy. It's about the truth that we are all connected, and we know that, and we want to experience it more and more. It's about folding the walls of this church flat on the sidewalks. It's about a posture not imposed from the inside, but coming from inner spaciousness. And it's about making our vessel big enough that we can hold it all. The Sufi poet Rumi said, "Someone fills up the cup in front of you." May our cups become barrels, and our barrels become wide platters, reaching out to touch the edges of those around us, so that soon we are all together holding it all. Amen. Every year in Unitarian Universalist congregations all over the country and in fact the world, we come together to celebrate Flower Communion. This is a time when we open our hearts to the idea and the reality, the truth, that we are all in it together and that there is something about that that makes us bloom and for certain makes life more beautiful. I'm going to invite you to come and put your flower in this arbor. If you didn't bring one from your own garden, don't worry, because we have some here for you. We want you up here, represented. And what I'm going to ask you to do is come down the center aisle. We'll start with the front rows, and then you can return to your seats via the side aisles. Please come forward in recognizing your small contribution to this great vessel. In the name of the providence which implants in the heart of the seed, the future of the flower, and which implants in our hearts that unrest which will not be quenched till people live lovingly with each other, we bless these flowers. And sages who sacrificed their lives to hasten the coming of the reign of mutual respect, we bless these flowers. May these flowers be for us the sign
of the glory and variety to which we aspire, knowing the whole while that we are one family, the family of spirit and nature. Prayer is a poem from Mary Oliver. The roses. One day in summer, when everything has already been more than enough, the wild beds start exploding open along the berm of the sea. Day after day, you sit near them. Day after day, the honey keeps on coming in the red cups, and the bees, like amber drops, roll in the petals. There is no end, believe me, to the inventions of summer, to the happiness your body is willing to bear. We are truly thankful for the gift of community. Please rise for our closing hymn. To the happiness that your body is willing to bear. So fold open like roses and let it all rain down on you. And may your edges always be stretching out to touch those beside you. Amen.